If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center. And what better way to kick off the 2026 calendar year with our girl Carrie Marcotte with some positive organ music to kick off the 2026 4-3 win over the Dallas Stars for the Chicago Blackhawks. Their second win against Dallas in 5 days. Who would have thought? Steve Conrad, I'm going to bring you in to help me break down this game. And this has got to be one of the more well-rounded victories, not just for the Blackhawks without Connor Bedard, but maybe all season, but especially without Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar.
Yeah, I think well-rounded is a good way to put it, Charlie, because it was all three sets of D. It was all four lines. There wasn't a lot of, you know, difference in time on ice between the first line and the fourth line. And that means that the team, the coaching staff has a lot of confidence in everyone out there. And he just kept rolling the lines. It didn't matter who was up next for the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars, the second best team in the entire NHL this year, actually by quite a bit. I mean, Colorado number one, Dallas number two, and then there's all the rest. So to beat them twice inside of a week and to do it convincingly here tonight, you know, you throw away those two empty net goals that made it a little closer than maybe it should have been. But I thought it was just a great effort on all fronts, special teams, goaltending, five-on-five play, you name it. After one period, the Blackhawks were really getting it handed to them in the faceoff dot. They'd only won four of the first 16 draws, and by the end of the night, it was literally 50-50. It was 22-21 in favor of Dallas in the faceoff department. So they checked a lot of boxes tonight, and I think in the growth of this team, this will really help. It's just reinforcing all the good habits they're developing.
You brought up the stat in the middle of the game that the Dallas Stars, I think, were 5-0 in the second of back-to-backs before tonight. And so, I mean, what a win for Chicago. We know that the Hawks are pretty poor in the second of a back-to-backs themselves, but for them to take advantage of a Dallas Stars team that was playing the second of the back-to-back, even though they were 5-0, I mean, that's got to be a nice confidence booster for them, too.
Well, yeah, mix in the fact, too, that Dallas had lost their previous three games, and they were just embarrassed at home by Buffalo 4-1. They'd lost to Chicago previously, where they had a lead in the third period. And the game before that, they were leading the Detroit Red Wings by a couple of goals in the third period, ended up losing that one in overtime. So they've now lost four in a row. That doesn't happen very often to the Dallas Stars. They picked up a couple of loser points with a shootout loss and the overtime loss. But still, they came in here, I think, with something to prove. And the Blackhawks, you know, withstood the initial barrage. And, you know, the first three or four shifts weren't very good for the Blackhawks. Spencer Knight certainly earned his keep early in this game. There was a couple of chances, high danger chances, grade A chances, I think the coaching staff would like to call it. And Spencer Knight made it look easy, and he kept them in there. And the Blackhawks end up scoring the first goal of the game. And how about Artie Levchinov? It's like a new, improved Artie Levchinov just the last two games, just showing a ton of confidence out there and really earning the fact that he was the second overall pick from a couple of years ago.
I thought he was really noticeable again in this game. We talked. Jeff Blashill had mentioned after Tuesday's game against the New York Islanders that he felt like it was maybe Artem Levchinov's best offensive game of the season. And boy, that carried over into tonight. In the first period alone, Levchinov had five shot attempts. Mm-hmm. Two of them hit the net. And then, of course, he later goes on to score. In that same period, he ends up scoring the first goal of the hockey game, his second of the season. And his celebration, you can almost see the relief come off of his face, because usually he's a guy that celebrates like crazy. I mean, he's really happy for it when he sets up. But for him, it almost felt like a weight lifted off his shoulders because he hit two posts in the New York Islanders game two nights ago.
Yeah, he's had so many chances, and he's been so close so often. It's amazing the turnaround. Now something must have been said in the dressing room by the coaching staff. Anders Sorensen, one of the assistant coaches, is in charge of the defense. Jeff Blashill, I'm sure, has talked to the young man. Listen, he's only, 19 years of age, so he's still a young kid. But boy, he has just grown by leaps and bounds just this last week. You know, the huge game against the Islanders and another really big game against the Dallas Stars. And I'll go back to what I said after that first period intermission. It's the fact that he's slowing the game down. He's controlling the pace of play. And for a guy, for a defenseman to do that, a young defenseman to do that, that's really impressive. And what he's doing is he's taking the puck, he's skating it out of danger, he's making good passes, tape-to-tape passes. And Hinnie is really controlling the play. Even on the goal he scored, the power play goal, lost control of the puck, but got it back, stole the puck back. And then after a flurry and Burakovsky pass, you know, he waited that extra half second just to, for things to open up a little bit. And he saw an opening on Ottinger and he hit it. So, he's a guy who's growing right before our eyes. And I can't wait to see the progression because he'll get bigger, he'll get stronger, he'll get faster. He might get a little meaner, too, and that's all going to help the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think we saw a little bit of the mean streak actually come out. I think he earlier in this game, I think he went out after Mikko Rantanen to make sure that he didn't, you know, get inside the face or the crease of Spencer Knight. But You talk about Levshinov, and the goal that he scored tonight was on the power play, and in the previous seven games, the Hawks were 1-for-18 on the power play. They now have 3 goals on the power play in their last 2 games. We talked about, I think, in the post-game show, either the last game or the game prior, that the power play is going to be such an important factor for the Blackhawks without Connor Bedard and without Frank Nazar to generate offense. And even if just not to generate offense, generate some momentum that might carry into the 5-on-5 game, because it really is going to be hard for the Hawks to try to out win or try to compete against teams just at even strength without their 2 best players.
Yeah, well, let's face it, Connor Bedard is the quarterback on the power play, and all plays literally run through him. And he used to set up on his offside, the left side, the right shot, and I'd say for the last 25 or so games while he was healthy, he was setting up on the right side, and he's a right shot. And everything went through him. And, you know, it would be him either looking for the pass or looking for the shot or looking for the cross-ice seam pass. And now you don't have that option. And other guys are starting to feel more comfortable with that. And, you know, both units, and it looks like Jeff Blashill is giving both units equal opportunity out there. And they're rewarding them. And, you know, they know what the options are now. They know what the options are without Connor Bedard, without Frank Nazar. And they're taking advantage of it. And, yeah, it's good to see, and I've said this before, and I think it bears worth repeating. If you can win your five on five battle even, and win your special teams, you're going to win 80% of your hockey games. That was certainly the case tonight.
Yeah, and on the other side of the special teams, Hawks with a really well disciplined game with only one penalty. It was an interference call on Louis Crevier, and it was a penalty that you actually liked because it kind of instills the meanness out of a guy like Louis Crevier.
Yeah, make a guy pay the price, and especially a star player and a big guy, and he absolutely rattled Mikko Rantanen, who his nickname is the Moose. I don't have his stats in front of me. I think he's 6'3 and probably 220 pounds, and he absolutely deep-sixed him along the boards, and those are the kind of penalties you like to kill. Because the other guy had to pay the price, and the next time that other guy comes across the blue line, he's going to be watching where number 46 is. So I'd like to see Louis Crevier get a reputation like that. He's got the size, he's got the build, and you know, Jeff Blashill was talking about it a couple of days ago. It's not innate with this set of D that he has, but they can develop that. And slowly but surely, I think you're starting to see Louis Crevier starting to really relish the big hits, making guys pay the price. Because ultimately, that affects how the hockey game goes. You know, you can affect the way players play against you if you put a little fear into their game.
Ilya Mikheyev, he didn't play in the game on Saturday in Dallas because he and his wife welcomed a new baby. And he's got some new dad strength because he scored 2 goals in this game, and he was a post away from scoring on the empty netter, which would have been his first career NHL hat trick. He was at the end of his shift, too, because he throws the puck onto the net from his own zone. It hits the post, and he just kind of looks at the heavens, and then he has to go straight to the bench. And I bet you a bunch of players probably wanted him to stay out there because they wanted him to get it. That's how much he's really well-liked inside the locker room. But great to see him get two goals in this one.
Yeah. Well, first off, congratulations to he and his wife, Christina, their first daughter, Miroslava. and I'm sure she's just a little sweetheart, born shortly, I think, after Christmas. That was part of the reason he missed that game in Dallas. And to come out here and to have a couple of goals and to be within a half an inch of getting the hat trick, that certainly would have been something. But it's not just the goal scoring. I just love the way he plays. He's never out of a play. He's always back-checking like it's the last time he's going to be on the ice. And that's what I love seeing, that second effort from him. And his penalty killing, just the way he thinks the game, especially when he's killing penalties. He knows what the power play, the offensive opposition power play is going to do. And he's just always in the right place. So, yeah, good for him. I'm glad to see him. What's he up to now? 7 or 8 goals?
Yeah, I think 8 goals now.
Good
yeah,
for him.
Got 7 and 8.
Yeah, and I hope they kept one of those pucks for Miroslava.
Yeah. Mikheyev is a guy that when I see him on the ice, there's almost like a comfort level that he's just like the stabilizing guy out there. Mm-hmm. Like he's very responsible defensively. He can provide offense like we saw tonight. Isn't obviously his go-to, but when he can provide it, he kind of catches defensemen off guard because of his speed, and also just he does have a scoring touch. And so every time I see number 95 on the ice, there's almost like a calming presence on it because you know he's going to be in the right spots.
It's funny you say that because he kind of reminds me, when I played here with Steve Larmer, I knew that if I got the puck, like if I was under a lot of pressure in my end, if I just got it to Steve Larmer, he'd be able to get it out. He'd make the right play. And that's what happens, I think, 90% of the time with Mikheyev. If you can just get him the puck, even if you're under a lot of pressure, he's going to make the right play. Whether he passes it up the middle, which he does a lot, and it's normally the right play because the other team's not expecting it, or he's flipping it out, or he's banking it off the boards or off the glass. Very rarely does he turn it over. So, yeah, he's a safe bet out there in his own zone.
All right, so this was day one of a 4-day stretch where you got 4 games in 4 days, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Notre Dame tomorrow.
Off to Notre Dame. I'll meet the team Saturday in Washington. And then who do we have Sunday? Vegas?
Sunday is Vegas, yeah. And I think that's Brent Seabrook bobblehead night.
Yeah.
So that should be a fun one.
Hopefully Brent's in the building. I don't know if that is in fact true, but I'm assuming he'll be here. I hope he is. I'd love to see Seabs again. But listen, the Blackhawks 2-1-1 in their last 4 games, and they're undefeated in 2026.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah.
Let's just call it. Let's just end it now. End it. Put a bow on 2026. Undefeated Blackhawks. That Ilya Mikheyev second goal for the Blackhawks. Turns out it was going to be the game winner, even though the Hawks ended up kind of the game was pretty much put away at the 4-1 mark after he. Made it 4-1 early in the third period. Dallas gets a couple of late ones with the extra attacker, and so the Ilya Mikheyev second goal turned out to be the game winner. This is the third time this season Mikheyev has had a multi-goal performance. His first one was October 13th in a 3-1 win over the Utah Mammoth, and then his second one was actually about a week and a half ago, the Saturday game, December 20th in Ottawa. It came in a 6-4 loss, and then, of course, tonight he had 2 goals. Let's hear what Ilya Mikheyev, the number one star of the game, had to say about his this Blackhawks win.
How bad did you want that hat trick?
Yeah, it was close, you know. Maybe next time I'm fine.
Just how much more of a complete game did you guys feel that you played tonight, especially after I know you guys weren't happy with the way the other night started against New York?
Yes, I think we play all 60 minutes today. Good, maybe last like 6-5 here, we give it like 2 goals, but during the game I think we have more advantage. Dallas is a great team, but today I think we play better.
Any extra energy being a new dad?
Yes, it's more excited, you know, like life's changing. I'm really happy with this.
What have you seen from Lev Shinov over these last couple games? It looks like he's really starting to show more confidence out there.
Yes, maybe last month he feel more confident, plays more with puck, create more offense. And it's like process. It takes time for him to understand how this league, how hard playing is this league, because you need to be consistency every night, every practice. But he's young, and I think he play really good hockey right now, and hope so, keep playing.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ilya Mikheyev, the number one star of the game, with his 2-goal performance, came a post away from getting his first career NHL hat trick. You know who also had a quietly really good game is Andrei Burakovsky, who was part of a really good line with Tyler Bertuzzi and Ryan Green. When the three of them were on the ice in this game, shot attempts were 18-10 Chicago. Scoring chances were 8-5 in favor of Chicago. But at one point, I think it was like 14-2. Around that range, because then the third period, it felt like Dallas started to push a little bit as the Hawks were protecting a 2/3 goal lead. Let's hear what Burakovsky had to say. He had 2 assists in this one.
I know you guys were too happy with the way the game started the other night before you came back. Did this feel like more a complete game for you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I think we were really good from the start. There was a period during the game, I think we were sitting back a little bit too much instead of keep going, keep pushing. But I think we came out in third and did what we're supposed to do. So overall, a good game, for sure.
Do you feel like you guys have, now that it's been a few weeks without Connor and Frank, gotten a better sense of how to adjust without them?
No, I mean, like, we need to adjust from right away, from the next game when we lost them. So. I think there's been games where we played really good and we didn't get 2 points or any points. It goes up and down. I think this team, we've been lacking a little bit. Be good every single day. There's been games where we just come in and we're not really there. And that's something we gotta figure out to be better at and just kind of show up there. It's an everyday league. We talk about it all the time. And just like we play today, we need to do that on a regular basis and not just go one good game and then maybe 2 bad and then 1 good. And so we're just going to find our way and just be better every day.
It seems like your line with Green and Bertuzzi was moving pretty well tonight. But you and Bertuzzi specifically together have had really good chemistry. What is it about his game that you feel like makes the two of you complement each other well?
He wins a lot of pucks. Like, I like to have the puck a lot. And make plays, and he's a good asset for me because he protects the puck really well when he has it, and he forechecks really good and wins a lot of pucks so that we can create something right away when they're not organized. So also he got a good when he holds on puck and stuff, like he's a really good playmaker as well and a goal scorer, and we've seen that. So I really enjoy playing with him and I hope he feels the same. So yeah.
Do you think 2 wins against a good Stars team kind of gives you that reassurance of, like, we can't play this well against anybody at any point?
No, I think we've seen that throughout the year. Like, there's been games where we have been really good. And like I said, we just kind of find that consistency and not have those drops that we've been having, for example, against Pittsburgh and last game, start of the last game and stuff like that. So we're just gonna find a way to do what we're supposed to every shift. There's gonna be shifts where they're pressuring and they get momentum and stuff like that, but then you get just gonna defend well and stay on the right side and not do those maybe simple mistakes that we do sometimes that cost us goals. So I think today was a game where we have to look at and bring more of this into the next couple of games.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Andrei Burakovsky. I want to circle back to the question about his chemistry with Tyler Bertuzzi. I know Bertuzzi wins a lot of pucks, and Andrei likes to have the puck a lot, and he likes to be a transporter. But one of the reasons why I think those two work really well together is they think the game the same way. Now, stylistically, they play a totally different brand of hockey, but they know where each other is going to be. And boy, it's been fun watching Tyler Bertuzzi over the last year and a half, just watching his brain operate and how he thinks the game and knowing where those star players are going to be. And so obviously that's why he's been successful with Connor Bedard, but that's a reason why Andrei Burakovsky also thrives with a guy like Connor Bedard and Tyler Bertuzzi, because they all think the game the same way. Might not be the right word. They all think the game at a very high level. And so I think that's a huge reason why you see the Burakovsky and Bertuzzi chemistry, that really thrived in a game like tonight. number two star of the game was Ryan Donato. He finished with 2 assists, a +1 rating. He had 4 hits, won 4 of 5 of his faceoffs, and he also had 2 shots on goal. Let's hear what Ryan had to say after this 4-3 victory.
I feel like you guys are maybe getting a little better grasp on how to win without Connor and Frank.
I hope so. I mean, that there's going to be injuries throughout the whole year. You never know what's going to happen, right? I think we just got to be ready for, you know, no matter what happens injury-wise, there's going to be guys that come in and out, guys that get hurt, and obviously it's nice to see things go our way that way, especially when you have 2 great players out. But I think we definitely did some really good things tonight, and, you know, we have some things to work on as well, but I think especially when those guys come back, we'll be ready to go.
You guys won Dallas last week and then beat them today. I guess how are you guys like so comfortable against the Stars this season?
It's a great question. I think we were just ready to play today. We did the right things well. We won our, you know, little battles, especially along the wall. We got pucks to the net. And as funny as it seems, the cliche things that you do in hockey, we did them well tonight, and, you know, I think that's what led to our success.
What were some, I guess, those little things that you feel like the team did well tonight?
I would say getting pucks to the net, winning faceoffs, blocking shots, winning board battles, getting pucks deep at the right times, turnovers, that kind of thing. I think there's things that we did, obviously, that were, you know, good in that sense, and then there's also things that we can continue to, you know, get better at. And, you know, I think that's exciting because it's room to grow and, you know, continue to get better. But, you know, we're getting wins with what we're doing right now, and I think if we continue to be hungry and continue to get better, we'll continue to make games hard for the other team.
Time now to get to tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. This was maybe the most evenly distributed ice time that we've seen the Blackhawks play all season long. You heard Steve Conroy talk about it, how Hawks only committed 1 penalty in this game. They also had 4 power plays, but in the third period, the Hawks were just rolling the rotations. It was first line, it was second line, it was third line, it was fourth line, start over. And same with the D pairings. And so the highest ice time in this game was Alex Vlasic at 21 minutes and 23 seconds. And then right behind him was Connor Murphy at 21:01. So there was, I'm trying to look at who the fewest was. It looked like it was Landon Slaggart at 11:12. And so it was a pretty well evenly distributed ice time for the Blackhawks. And that's a coach's dream right there, when they can kind of just play the rotation, throw the guys out there for special teams, and then get back into the flow of things. All right, let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say. I imagine he's really pleased with this 4-3 victory over Dallas. Let's hear what Blashill had to say.
Probably got a little more interesting there at the end than you wanted, but seemed like from the start, much more connected group tonight.
Yeah. Obviously, they scored the 2 goals, and honestly, there's probably good in that. Like, it gives us a chance to have go through 5 and 6. We haven't been in that spot enough here lately. You don't get to practice it much, really. You just don't have much practice time. So that'll be good to go through that video and kind of make some corrections and get better in that area. But outside of that, I thought we were really good. I thought we were really good the majority of the night. Did we make some mistakes? Yeah. Did we have some breakdowns? Yeah. Did they have some really talented players? Yes. I loved the speed at which we played. I loved how connected we were. I loved our third period. You know, we've been in those spots a few times this year where it's a tough back-to-back for them, and we let teams off the hook, and we didn't tonight. And I thought we did a really good job of playing the right way up until the point that they pulled the goalie, and then that's a different kind of animal at that point. But we're really pleased with the
Seems like Bertuzzi and Burakovsky have really good chemistry no matter who's between them. What is it about their 2 games that work so well together?
You know, they're both smart players. They're both really smart players, I would say. And Bert, for kind of a north-south guy who's really good at the net, has always had very good poise with the puck. So he can make a play to guys. And that's kind of how Berkey wants to play. He wants a little more puck control. And so I think they kind of feed off each other well, and I thought that line was good tonight. I thought Greener played good. You know, they had some really, really good chances. They're a little bit snake-bitten, but they had some really good chances.
McKay, drawn energy from being a new dad.
Yeah, I was pumped for him. He's enjoying his early experience as a new dad, and so it was great. He's such a good person, so it's fun. Whenever he has success, it's fun to watch.
And Have you made any adjustments to the power play with now three goals last two games after a pretty rough stretch for a few weeks without Bedard?
We haven't made any like major adjustments. I would say we went through a stretch that was rough that we didn't create many chances, and I thought we slowly started to create some chances. And you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of chemistry. Obviously, on the one unit, you know, we put Morsey on there, we put Fliggy back on there, so it's a little different look. On the other unit, it's been somewhat the same. Made a little bit of a tweak in where guys are at, but overall, I think it's just a little bit of chemistry building. And I think Artie's done a really good job in his 5-on-5 game, and that's mirrored his power play game. It looks like he's attacking the game offensively more, which is what we want out of him. He's showing that real good poise up on the blue line and doing a good job of that.
He's never really shy about shooting, but how important is it for him to see that way?
Yeah, there's zero doubt about that. We were talking earlier. You know, it's something that we kind of focus on, continue to work with him on is his shot mechanics, because I think there's things that could improve there that can help elevate his ability to shoot even to a higher level. He gets a lot of chances. He's had a lot of chances on those areas, so it's great to see it go in. It's a huge thing for confidence, and I think it kind of reinforces the way he's been playing. You know, when you get rewarded with points, it's a good reinforcement.
The shots on net thing, is that an aggressiveness that just carries over to other parts of the game? Or is that just an example of aggressive night?
I think it does help get you on your toes. You know, if you have a shooting mentality, it kind of gets you on your toes, because you have to have movement towards the net in order to get those pucks back. So I do think it's something that can kind of get you on your toes a little bit. And I've one of the messages going into the night was getting on our toes a little bit more. I think we've been in a situation where we've kind of backed up just a little too much. There's certainly times when you have to. We wanted to be on our toes a little bit more, and I thought we did that. And certainly the shooting mentality helps that.
You guys played very comfortably today and last week against Dallas. I guess what is it about the Stars, do you think, you guys play so well?
Hard to say now. You know, last week we gave up more probably significant chances, although tonight we did too. We probably got good goaltending in both games, and that's, you know, can be a big factor in winning and losing. They're an excellent team. They probably haven't quite got it going again coming out of the break. So I'm glad we maybe caught them at a time when they maybe didn't have it going full steam. They're an excellent team, one of the very best in the league. I think when you play the right way and when we play the way we're capable of, I think we still have to improve in our defending. I think we can be a good team. I think, you know, our speed and tenacity can be a good equalizer, and I thought that showed at times tonight.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. Very pleased with the 4-3 victory over the Dallas Stars. And you want to know how I know that? Because it wasn't just his comments. He already canceled practice for tomorrow for the guys as a reward, I imagine, for the performance that they put together. Well-rounded victory for Chicago. Last thing before we go to our last break, I want to talk about Jeff Blashill's pregame comments on Connor Bedard. Now, yesterday, it was 11 a.m. Chicago time, Team Canada announced their 2026 25-man roster for the Olympics, and Connor Bedard's name was not part of that. Jeff Blashill was asked about it this morning, about Connor being left off, and his response was awesome. Here was Jeff from earlier this morning talking about Bedard not being included on Team Canada's initial roster.
I talked to him for a while yesterday. You know, first off, I have a ton of respect for how hard these decisions are, and whether, honestly, Canada, the U.S., Sweden, like, you have a lot of really good players that you're going to ultimately leave off these teams. The one thing I would say is I don't think the rest of the league knows how good of a two-way winning hockey player Connor has become. And that's the one thing probably, and I don't know why, you know, maybe it's based on previous years, but I don't think they have a full understanding of how good a winning hockey player he is today, as we sit here today. You know, I've read some things about defensive metrics and things like that. I would tell you, I have studied those things tons. I've never seen a defensive metrics that I trust to say to me whether or not a guy's a good defensive player. I don't think they judge what they're supposed to judge yet. I don't think we're there yet. We're all working to try to get there. We're not there. The metric that I trust is your impact on winning. And the reason why I know he's a big-time winning hockey player, when he was in our lineup, we were 1 point out of the wild card. And since then, we're 1-6 of the world. That's the impact he's had. That's the type of two-way player. You don't have that impact if you're just a point getter. You only have that impact if you're a true two-way kind of winning player, and that's what he's become.
I mean, what a response there by Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill, just backing Connor Bedard's game and the growth that he has had so far this season. I was talking to Jeff Blashill a couple games ago, and he said he sat down with Connor Bedard over summer, and they were watching film of Sidney Crosby's shifts. Now, Sidney Crosby is not a guy that you watch the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he's killing penalties out there. But he is one of the best two-way forwards of his generation. Sidney Crosby is just an incredible, he backchecks, he plays hard in his own end, but he's not a defensive-minded guy. He's just a really strong two-way player. That's what I think about with Connor Bedard. Like, he's not going to be out there killing penalties and, you know, playing that kind of role, but he has evolved into such a dependable two-way player. And I just thought that full Jeff Blashill quote was awesome. My overall thoughts on Connor being left off of Team Canada's initial roster, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't surprised by it. And I think there are two things. One, I'm not surprised by it because I think the injury that Connor Bedard has been dealing with since December 12th made it a little tricky for Team Canada, because let's just say Connor Bedard returns in a couple weeks and they name him to the roster yesterday, but when he returns, he's kind of like an 80% version of himself and he just never quite gets to the pre-injury form. Well, then Team Canada's in a difficult situation where they're like, well, we already named him to the roster, but he's not playing like the way that we thought he was going to play prior to the injury. So you can't just take him off the roster. And so I figured if you're Team Canada, you kind of just hold off on naming Connor Bedard and see how he performs in the final weeks. Like if he does, like leading up to the Olympic break, if there is an injury if there's an injury to the roster, especially to an offensive guy, where you can feel comfortable enough where you see a couple games and a few weeks of his play to then name him, or if you name him to the initial roster, you can kind of maybe leave him as an extra 13th or 14th forward, but it just seems too risky. But I was a little surprised when Team Canada GM Doug Armstrong didn't use that as a convenient out in his response yesterday when asked specifically about Bedard. He said the injury didn't play much of a factor. So that part was kind of interesting to me, because if he was healthy, I don't know how you leave a guy like Connor Bedard off the roster, but so that part was really interesting. Now, I will say this. Earlier today, the New York Islanders played a game, and Bo Horvat left the game in the third period. Bo Horvat was one of the names that was named to the roster yesterday, and I guess he was one of the guys that was in like the final mix. It was with Anthony Cirelli and Sam Bennett. Bo Horvat and Nick Suzuki, like they were kind of like the four guys that were kind of among the final cuts. And Bo Horvat suffered an injury. Now, he missed five games earlier in the season, which was a couple weeks ago. And there was no update on him today after the game. They just said he's going to be reevaluated tomorrow by the doctors. And looking at the video, it kind of looked like a knee injury, apparent knee injury, I should say. Like, I don't want to speculate or play doctor. But if this is a significant loss for the Islanders, well, then they have to find a way to replace Bo Horvat. Now, I guess the easy answer is they could just slide Sam Bennett in, because he also was one of the guys that got snubbed. That was, you know, a surprising decision by Team Canada, because Sam Bennett played a crucial role on the Four Nations Team Canada roster that ended up winning the gold. So I guess that could slide in. But boy, there's a lot of time between now and the start of the tournament. Like, we have a full month to go. Like, Brandon Hagel's been hurt for Tampa Bay. He returned recently. Braden Point has missed like 10 plus games for the Lightning. He's part of Team Canada's roster. He's back in the lineup, actually scored two goals today. So like there have been a lot of injuries in the NHL this season. So it's not like Connor Bedard left off the roster, that's it. Like, there's still a path for Bedard to play himself onto the roster. I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised that Connor was left off of it because of the injury. I was a little surprised that Team Canada GM Doug Armstrong said his injury didn't play much of a role in deciding whether or not he was going to be on the roster, because it felt like they had already made their decision that he was on the outside looking in. And that's a little bit puzzling to me, because I think he's a guy that you would want to include on the roster, and you kind of, you know, you can take out a bottom six forward and just replace, put Connor Bedard higher in the lineup, or you bring him as a 13th, 14th forward. And if you're struggling for goals, like, the last thing I say, Do you remember the gold medal game between USA and Team Canada? How many chances that USA had in the overtime? It was Austin Matthews. He had like three grade A scoring chances, and Jordan Binnington stopped all of them. Canada goes the other way and they score. Like, if Team USA scores there and they win the gold, like, does that change Team Canada's perspective on how they craft their team? I don't know. So we'll see. Again, a lot can change between now and the February Olympics. So I'm still kind of holding out hope that Connor can play himself onto the roster if there's an injury or two. And so we'll have to see, just something to monitor moving forward. But of course, the first step of that process is Connor getting back healthy. Let's dive right into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. And I want to highlight Blackhawks third rounder from 2024, Jack Pridham, who's in his second season with the OHL's Kitchener Rangers. He's got 6 goals in his last 3 games, and he's up to 23 goals on the season, also 42 points in 35 games. 4 of those 23 goals are shorthanded, which is tied for first in the OHL. And then his 23 goals is second among all OHL skaters. Number one is Blackhawks prospect Merrick Van Acker with 28, who was obviously a first-round pick last year. And the OHL earlier today tweeted out who led the OHL in goals in the 2026 calendar year. How about this? Merrick Van Acker tied for first with 54. Nick Lardis with 50 was second on the list, and he hasn't played all season for the OHL because he's here in North America. That's how crazy of a year he had last year. And then you have Jack Pridham, who is third on the list with 47. So you have 3 of the top 5 players, most OHL goals in the 2025 calendar year. Van Acker, Lardis, Jack Pridham, all Blackhawks prospects. How about that? All right, tonight's next game preview. Sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action on Saturday night at Washington, a 6 p.m. Central Time puck drop, 5:30 pregame show at Capital One Arena against a Capitals team that has been struggling lately. 3-6-2 in their last 11 games after a 10-1-1 start in their previous 12. So they've cooled off a little bit. The Hawks, though, are trying to go for back-to-back wins for the first time since November 15th and 18th when they beat Toronto and Calgary. So let's see if the Hawks can pull it off in a quick one-off trip, the first of a back-to-back in Washington on Saturday night.